Good morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the First Congregational Church of Natick, it's my pleasure to welcome you all here this morning. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, and no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. I have some announcements, and just be warned, they're going to be out of order and not match the slides. So let's breathe, Robin.
Good morning. I'm Robin Clausen. I'm the current church moderator, for those who don't know. And I do want to invite anyone from the Coordinating Council who's here today to come up and stand with me. I'm doing this as we move forward in this new church year to kind of help remind you all who are the coordinators of our different ministry teams that are serving as leaders on the council for all the hard work that we do. I invite you up here in great appreciation for the work that you do. Yeah, come on in. And realizing that our last two annual meetings were via Zoom, so, you know, I'm trying to put those puzzle pieces together in this visual way. But these are the people who are hard at work with the different ministry teams to keep this church moving forward and doing fun and exciting things and keeping it vibrant.
So they're even in the balcony.
They're even in the balcony, yes. And I know there are some who couldn't make it today, so if you're watching, we appreciate you. But I also want to call your attention to our different ministry teams, because everybody may not know as much about them as we do. So we have lots of great opportunities for you to get involved in the church. We have a board downstairs that gives a brief blurb of our different ministry teams. Hopefully you'll take a look at those and come ask any of us if you have questions or you want more information. If you want to get involved on a ministry team, we would love that. We're always looking for new members. If you want to just volunteer on an ad hoc basis for special programs or events, we'd love that too. There's lots of different ways to get involved. We do great work from our worship team to our faith formation to welcome and outreach and finance and building and grounds. Lots of great things going on and many, many ways to get involved. And we also need to be looking ahead and thinking about next year as we approach annual meeting. There will be some additional openings on teams as people's terms come due, and so more and more opportunities to get involved. And there will also be opportunities to be coordinators on those teams and represent the church as part of the council. Most of these positions are elected annually. Many of us have been in them for a number of years, possibly more than we should. So thank you for your indulgence. But many of us will be vacating those positions in the new year as well. So it's a great time to think about nominations. If you want to nominate yourself or someone else to be on a team or to be a team leader, we would really love to hear from you. So you can reach out to anyone on the Coordinating Council via phone, email, text, call, or you can reach out to the front office at admin@firstchurchnatick, and they'll get you in touch with the people that you need. So we look forward to hearing from you, and please come to us with any questions you have. Thanks, everyone.
In just a moment, we'll be lighting the Christ candle together, so I would invite all those who are worshiping at home to get a candle so that you may light it with us, as well as some elements for Holy Communion, something that you'll use for bread and something that you'll use for wine or juice. It doesn't matter what it is, an English muffin or a bagel or a blueberry muffin. You'll notice, well, I hope you notice, that there are communion envelopes at the doors. I'm not sure that they're in the pews, but they're at the doors. And in that, the communion offering is used to help people in distress, both in this community and outside, as those needs present themselves. It's done the first Sunday of every month, and there are special plates at each doors in which you can place your offering. If people were to have prayer requests, please write them on the card in the pew and hand them to the usher, and the usher will bring them to me before the prayer time. You may also email them to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, or you can text them to my cell phone, which is 978 790 8250. Everybody is invited to join us for the coffee hour or post-worship fellowship downstairs in the vestry. There'll be snacks and things, as well as people who are at home. You can join us by Zoom, and the link for that is in the bulletin. Am I doing the Dreamers update or the Dreamers update? I'll do it. There's one more cottage meeting today at 2 o'clock, 2:30, and it's been juggled around, I think. Isn't this the day of the game? See, I'm totally. We'll be all done before the game. And at the Clausen's house, 2:30, and there's sign-ups downstairs in the vestry. And if you don't sign up, still go to their place. At 2 o'clock, before the cottage meetings, is the workshop thing about how to make apple crisp. And on the 16th of October, we're going to have another great grill get-together, a cookout out in the parking lot, and we hope everybody will come. I think I did it all. Each time we gather for worship, before we begin, we light the Christ candle to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world, that we're called to bring it forth out into the world, and that Jesus is present with us as we worship, as is God. Plato said, "We can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when people are afraid of the light."
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So Andy said to me at the beginning, feel free to adjust the wording or ad lib. I'm not sure he knows me well enough to realize the mistake he made there.
But I said in the prayer of confession, not throughout.
Well, taking liberties anyway, I'm going to open our call to celebration with celebrating all those folks that we hear outside in their music. They're doing great works on the Jimmy Fund walk, so good luck to them today. But let us... please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Welcome, friends, to this holy day.
We come to offer thanks. We come to sing and pray.
Welcome, friends, to this time set apart.
A time to remember those we love.
And a time to remember the holy promises of God. Welcome, friends, on this World Communion Sunday to this table of remembrance and joy. Welcome, friends. We are moving from COVID to community. Let us worship God. Please rise as you're able in body or spirit for the singing of our first hymn.
Thank you.
be seated. Would you please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Gracious God, how shall we do your will today? Will it be in acts of praise, in gifts shared, in prayers lifted? Who will lead you to serve? Help us trust you. Help us listen. Gracious God, help us to empty of ourselves so that we may fill ourselves with you. Bless this community as we come together in worship. Encourage us, comfort us, and unite us. Accompany us from COVID to community and make our joy complete. Amen. Friends, we are called to follow Christ. We are called to a life of humility. But what does that even mean? Do we seek to exalt ourselves, to be lifted above others? Does our sense of success depend on someone else's failure? Does our love of God entirely guide our relationships? Do we twist service into convenience and leisure, ignoring the idea that to serve is to be a servant? Let us use a moment of silence to consider this. Trusting in God's unconditional love, please join me as we pray together. God of patience, your people grow weary. We complain and question. We put you to the test. Our mouths say yes, but our deeds say no. When we wander off your path, when we fail to follow through on our good intentions, when we give our attention to trivial things, gently call us back to you. Empty our hearts of anger and pride. Empty our souls of greed and selfishness. Empty our minds of envy, doubt, and mistrust. Empty us. As you poured out your very self through Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide, pour your spirit into our hearts today. Forgive us our lack of faithfulness. Reclaim us with your love. Amen. Friends in Christ, God is patient, steadfast, and understanding. God hears our cries of repentance. God knows our hearts inside and out. The one who created us promises to care for us, even when we turn away. Be strengthened to walk as disciples. Trust in God's mercy. Amen. Amen.
Lots of people here today, some with masks, some without, some cuddling, some spread apart. Let's remember all of people's choices as we share the peace of Christ with one another. The peace of Christ be with you. Peace be with you. Peace. Peace be with you.
She says this way. Don't you think?
They've got it figured out that it's time to go to godly play or connect. As we prepare to give this morning's offering, let us think about the obstacles and the opportunities waiting for our faithfulness, knowing that God is on the move. Let us continue to worship God with our offerings. You may place them in the plate at either door. You may mail them to the church, or you may make a donation right online on our website, firstchurchnatick.org. Would you please rise in body or spirit? Would you please pray with me? Faithful God, you create, you sweep over and speak into being all of creation. We thank you for the opportunity to give and participate in extending grace to more and more people, and to give all glory to you. Amen. Would you please be seated?
This morning's scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but from humility. Regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, assuming human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Here ends this morning's reading.
My brother, oh, my brother, so much therapy, so much learning, so many sermon illustrations. My father owned his own business, an insurance agency in Worcester. He was knowledgeable and well-respected and a trusted man. If he gave his word about something, it would happen without question. It just would. People knew this, and I suspect it was one of the reasons he was so successful. He was also a very unassuming man and self-effacing. He was just as likely to be found cleaning the office bathroom as in an upscale restaurant sharing martinis with other business people. You get the idea. His office was in a bank building, a bank for which he wrote the insurance and also used as his own bank. People knew who he was. My brother. Oh, my brother. So much therapy, so much learning, so many sermon illustrations. One day, as an early teenager, my brother went into my office, my father's office, for the afternoon, as we often did. And I've forgotten why exactly, but he went downstairs into the bank itself and asked for something or other. The short version is that he was told no. And in a very loud voice, for all to hear, he responded, "Don't you know who I am? I'm Guy Burr's son." You get the idea. My brother. Oh, my brother. So arrogant, so brash, so full of himself. As part of our fall theme, from COVID to community, we're starting off using Scott Peck from the Road Less Traveled fame and his four stages of community building. 2 weeks ago, we thought about what Peck called pseudo-community. I love that phrase, pseudo-community. Chattanooga Endeavors describe it this way. Pseudo-community is the front porch of community. It's dominated by convention, orderliness, superficial communication, and a search for similarities. Interactions are typically very polite, exchanging business cards and avoiding difficult issues. In pseudo-community, trust is shallow. However, it's shallow not because members are untrustworthy, but because they are untested. The circumstances are uncertain, and nothing much has happened to the group to reveal how members will behave under pressure. Rather than step into this uncertainty, members usually keep to safe ground and talk about the weather. Last week, if I hadn't have been laid low with a migraine, we would have thought about the second leg of the journey towards true community, which Peck refers to as chaos. Members are invited, forced, really, to step into chaos, into uncertainty. If pseudo-community is the front porch of community, they write, then chaos is the backyard. It's characterized by efforts to manage the differences that begin to surface in the group. A lack of effective listening among members, the formation of cliques, efforts to solve each other's problems, unrealistic expectations, and judgments, both of oneself and others. Members begin to speak out. It's sort of a realism, but it's more or less confrontational. That phrase is very important. Listen. Members begin to speak out. It's more or less confrontational, lacking the trust that is needed for members to speak very personally. Speaking out, sharing one's own thoughts, ideas, and feelings, just as one would expect, knocks the group off kilter. And the group then descends into chaos. As an interim pastor, as you might imagine, I see this over and over and over again in churches. You know, everything is chugging along just fine, all hunky-dory, and everybody's happy. Things are just fine, and people are in conversation about the weather, and then the pastor announces their resignation, and the group begins its descent into chaos. Some, including me, might say the Holy Spirit leads the group into chaos. The Holy Spirit leads the group downward into the abyss. As part of the process of finding a new pastor, people are invited, called really, to express their own ideas and feelings. We need a great preacher. No, what we need is somebody who will get involved in the community and bring people in. No, environmental justice. People really say this one. A young guy with a family. His wife can teach Sunday school. They say this. Mission, faith for mission, great kids' messages. Don't you know who I am? I've been the chair of the fellowship committee for 24 years. You get the idea. Folks are expressing what's really important to them, as opposed to polite conversation about the weather or chatting about the tastiness of the ham salad in those little foofy funeral sandwiches and tiny sub rolls. What's really important to note here is that in this stage referred to as chaos, people aren't listening to each other. They're not listening to each other. They're too concerned about protecting their own turf. There, we're caught up. Now, before we move on to Peck's third stage, emptiness, let's skibble into Mr. Wizard's Wayback Machine. 1,960 years ago, to either Rome or Ephesus in the year 62, we find the Apostle Paul imprisoned for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. While he's in prison, Paul wrote the letter to the church in Philippi, to the Philippians. And our lection this morning is what's referred to as the Philippian hymn. And it has two stanzas. The first has a downward movement, going from the pinnacle of Christ existing in the form of God all the way down into the abyss to death on a cross. The second stanza, you might have guessed, has a corresponding upward movement, going from the abyss back up through the resurrection to the pinnacle, the proclamation that Jesus is Lord. Now, I want to focus on verse 7, which is in the first stanza. Jesus emptied himself. Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, assuming human likeness. Jesus became like us. Or as my seminary professor, Jerry Handspicker, liked to say, it's important to remember that Jesus had stinky feet. Jesus became like us. That word emptied is from the Greek kenosis, the act of emptying. Jesus emptied himself of all that he was, including, or especially, his equality with God, his divinity, so he could become entirely receptive to God's divine will. Jesus emptied himself. He emptied himself. Now remember, back in April when the transition team, now the FCC Dreamers, were commissioned during worship, I asked them this question. Do you covenant to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in all that you do? Do you covenant to lay aside your own personal preferences as best as you are able to discern God's call and vision for the whole congregation, to communicate in a Christ-like manner with each other and your fellow congregants, and to encourage honesty and transparency with all people, speaking the truth in love? That notion, that act of laying aside your own personal preferences to discern God's will and vision for the whole congregation, that's emptying, isn't it? The emptying, kenosis. When the FCC Dreamers covenanted to do that, they were committing to kenosis, emptying. Let's think for a minute. Before my brother screamed, "Don't you know who I am?" years ago at that bank in Worcester, do you think that he had emptied himself? In my contrived church example, before the chair of the fellowship committee screamed, "Listen to me, don't you know who I am?" do you think he had emptied himself? Had either one emptied himself so he could be receptive to anything? When we are so full of ourselves, whatever the reason, anger or insecurity or need, to-do lists, the need to be right, self-loathing, whatever the reason, our ability to take anything in, information, feedback, instruction, praise, correction, even love, even our ability to take love in, if we are so full of ourselves, there's no room for anything else. Anything else. Jesus did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, assuming human likeness. Jesus chose that downward movement so that we could join him in the upward movement towards true community. So let's end where we began, with a heapin' helpin' of Burr family drama. Karen Nell, my lovely wife, shared this in a sermon of her own just about 11 years ago, following the death of my father. She preached. This past weekend, after months of sorting and packing and emptying out my mother-in-law's house, Andy and I helped her move in to a condominium across town. It's perfect for her. Since my father-in-law passed away last January, she's felt overwhelmed by the large family home in Shrewsbury. After 48 years in that lovely house, you can imagine that every nook and cranny was filled with the stuff of life crap, the stuff of 48 years of a family. Needless to say, she continues, it's been quite a job to get ready to move, but it's a transition I'm familiar with. One my own family went through several years ago when my parents moved to Lunenburg. So I knew what needed to be done, and I was happy to help my husband and his mother. Sounds good so far, right? She says. Very servant-like, the good daughter-in-law. Here's the truth of it, she goes on. Saturday morning, after the movers had left for the condo, and Andy and the girls and my mother-in-law followed to supervise the unpacking on that end, I stayed behind to do the final cleaning. You know, finishing up the details, the crumbs and dust, the mess that's left when all the furniture is gone, so that the new owners can arrive to a reasonably clean house so that it's broom clean. There I was, on my knees, in the kitchen, in front of the refrigerator, tired, aching, sweaty, with every fingernail broken and angry. No paragon of virtue. Honestly, I was pissed. You see, some of my in-laws had helped with the packing, moving, cleaning process, and others had not. Not even one little bit. And in that tired, aching, sweaty, every fingernail broken time, and oh yes, did I mention that I had a sermon still to finish? Moment, my heart and head were filled with angry, vengeful, self-righteous, judgmental, imaginary conversations. Just what would I say the next time I had a chance? It wasn't pretty, it wasn't healthy. I think you know what I mean. And then I thought about Paul's words to the Philippians as only a preacher who was scrubbing out the bottom of a refrigerator on a Saturday can do. That part about emptying oneself. All that anger, vengeful, self-righteous, judgmental stuff going on inside of me wouldn't do anything to help me or heal me, or my relationships with my in-laws, or the healing and unity of Andy's family, still grieving after his dad's death. Best to let go of it. Empty, kenosis, empty my heart to make room for the love and compassion and listening to a grieving family who's trying to heal. Kenosis. They write, emptiness is the bridge to community. It's characterized by a letting go of the barriers which have been keeping members from being fully present, and therefore have been getting in the way of being honest and having meaningful communication. Such barriers may include expectations about community building or the facilitators, resentment about something that was said or done in the group, the need to fix individuals or control the process, hanging on to old stereotypes, making snap judgments, wounds and rejections received in past relationships. So, dear ones, instead of screaming, "Don't you know who I am?" we come to this time realizing it doesn't matter who we are. Beyond the profound truth that we are all children of God. We are faithfully, following God's call to move from COVID to community, in which we will all be on equal footing with one another. On this World Communion Sunday, with Christians around the world, as we prepare to gather around the table of the one who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself. May we have the courage and wisdom to follow Christ's example and empty ourselves, so that there is plenty of room for others and for God. Amen.
It's a familiar sound these days, hearing the foil being ripped off those little cups. If you don't have one and would like one, please raise your hand and an usher will give you one. We are invited to acknowledge on World Communion Sunday that we live within national borders that includes many sovereign nations, stewards of land from which they have been dispossessed, people of faiths that have not been practiced, and their holy places often stolen, shapers of traditions and languages willfully strangled. Some of us are of this heritage, and some of us are of settler heritage, and some are of a heritage of coming to this place enslaved. All gather today to a table with indigenous and settler peoples in many lands around the world to receive a communion, not of our own making, but of God's. Today we celebrate with all the world far away and near at hand. We remember that tobacco, sage, cedar, sweetgrass are holy, that dance is holy, four directions are holy, sweat and quest are all holy. And Jesus of Nazareth called his disciples to name as holy the most common food, the most common drink, in remembrance of him, his life, death, and resurrection. That's what we're doing right now. Would you please join me with prayer, in prayer? Oh God, bless the meeting of hunger and generosity in all places. Bless the memories of all holy and all that is holy land, the place of Jesus' lineage and Passover custom, the land under our feet, all land remembered, land honored, land with justice. Bless all that is communion, but especially what we take into body and spirit, so that you can live and walk and sit and roll with us. Bless the great giveaway for which we are grateful. We empty ourselves so that we may receive you. Amen. The bread on our tables is blessed and broken as long as it's open to all, it's holy. The cup on our tables is blessed and poured like the overflowing of tears and joy. Take and eat. Take and drink. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks that someone taught us about the four directions, for we take this sacrament into us so that we can face the east and north, the west and south, not claiming to know what we find there, but asking that you turn us the particular way we should go tomorrow. Amen. As we enter this time of prayer, I ask that you hold on your heart and in your prayers all those who are listed on the prayer list. The family of Carolyn Eisenmenger. Did I get that right, Gail? As they say their final goodbyes at Glenwood Cemetery in South Natick, Tuesday at 11. A celebration celebrating the third anniversary of Keith Jennings surviving a cardiac arrest. While the medical team that tended to him didn't have much to hope for his survival, God had different plans. His family is grateful. He is still with us and enjoying good health. Joys, concerns, celebrations, prayer requests. Jojo. That God becomes real to the world. That's up to us, Jojo. Praying for all those in Florida dealing with the aftermath of Ian. Pam. Prayers of comfort for your friends that have passed away. Prayers of encouragement and thanksgiving for all those who are joining the Jimmy Fun Walk outside our door, and all the support people that are making that happen, and all those who have benefited from the Jimmy Fund, and all those who give back to the Jimmy Fund. And I love that we can hear the music they're playing in here, because it reminds us that the outside world and here are together. Let us pray using the words of Mandy Smith's emptying prayer. Father, I lay before you my family. Here are the people I want to understand, the relationships I want to fix. I feel confused and hurt and inadequate. I confess the ways I try to be all-powerful. I confess the ways I try to be you. I confess I am human. Father, I lay before you my work. Here are the places in me that are frustrated. Here are the things that are beyond me to do, to be. It makes me anxious, grasping, desperate. I confess the ways I try to be all powerful. I confess the ways I try to be you. I confess I'm human. Father, I lay before you this world. Here are the places that break my heart. Here are the situations that seem broken beyond repair. I feel angry, despairing, powerless. My brokenness drives me to act in ways that add to the brokenness. I confess the ways I try to be all powerful. I confess the ways I try to be you. I confess I am human. Father, I lay before you my own heart. There are so many things I want to be, so many ways I want to grow, so many sins I want to leave behind. I feel hopeless and small, stuck in a cycle. I will never be good enough or understand enough. I confess the ways I try to be powerful. I confess the ways I try to be you. I confess I am human. You are God. I am small. I need you. Give me what I need to empty myself so that I may follow you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide, who taught us to pray, saying, Beloved center and source of our loving, whose presence is heaven, your holy love fills creation. May your delight be fulfilled and your realm unfold among us. the visible world blossoming out of the unseen. We turn to you alone for our sustenance, the bread of life each day. Set us free from our failings, as we are set free all who have failed us. Lead us beyond our desires and save us from the grip of evil. For the world is within you. All power is from you and all glory is about you in eternity, which is in the present moment. Amen. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our final hymn, number 470, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Little Jack Horner sat in a corner, blah, blah, blah. What a good boy am I. Full of himself, right? We need to empty ourselves and go out those doors empty, empty. And as you go, empty. May you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen. Please be seated.